God was already upon them. And I fear that by the time we find out what all of this stuff has done to us, we're going to learn that judgment is past due. And so all the preaching today has been so helpful last night and yesterday, and all the messages this morning about the hurts, the worship and gone, the wounds, the loss that comes by losing from a life of the Lord. And so good. And then repairing the old gate. I came down here, of course, Brother Robert had already asked us to preach yesterday evening, again this evening. And I came down here, absolutely thought I was sure what I was going to preach this evening. But just afternoon today, the Lord really began to change my mind. And Brother Ryle set the what I believe will be the course for what I'm going to preach. I can already see that stillness setting in. And I preach with a deep burden this evening. Let's all stand, if you will, please. Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and James chapter 2. I would not want to say or do anything that would in any way confuse or hinder or hurt, misguide or misdirect anybody this evening. I wanted to preach out of Galatians chapter 2 on a little message God gave us back earlier this year that the Lord's really used through the year on why be defeated when we've been completed. I wanted to preach on that, about the fullness of God. I thought about preaching about Samson and how that he killed that lion and couldn't tell his mother and daddy. Did you ever think of why he didn't tell his mother and daddy? The Bible said he didn't tell it. Did you ever think of why he didn't tell it? First thing you'd have done if you had killed a lion as a teenage boy, first thing you'd have went home and told Mama, said, Mama, I'm going to tell you what I done. I killed a lion a while ago. But the Bible said he never did tell it. You ever think why he didn't tell it? The Bible said he wasn't supposed to be around them grapes. And he was down there in the vineyard of Timnath. You know what he was doing? He was toying with his separation. And he hadn't told nobody. He couldn't tell Mom and Daddy that he killed the lion in Timnath because they'd have figured out that he was in the forbidden vineyard. I wanted to preach on the danger of not taking our separation seriously. I believe there's a lot of kids today, they're toying. They're hiding from Mom and Daddy. They're hiding. They're sneaking into the vineyards. And they can't tell Mom and Daddy what they're doing because they're in the forbidden place. And they can't tell about it because they're toying with their separation. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. But I went to the room and I preached on this about 2 years ago at our church. And I don't even have the outline. I just have some notes in my Bible, and I went back and throwed two or three little thoughts together, and I really pray. It's so strange for a meeting like this, Brother Willis. Would you pray for me, Brother Willis? It's so strange for a meeting like this. But I know it's His mind of God. Preachers here, and preachers' wives, and preachers' children, and missionaries, and we consider, I guess, the cream of the crop, but I just can't get away from this. I just can't get away from it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38. The Bible said, now the just shall live by faith. Oh my, that I could learn that. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now look in James chapter 2, if you will, please. James chapter 2. Let's start reading verse 14. The Bible said, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's bow to pray. I know that every preacher in here stood where I stand. I want to ask you special this evening. I mean special. I feel like, I won't tell you what I feel like. I just want you to ask God special to help us. Father, Lord, in the name of the crucified one, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I approach your throne again. I'm thankful, God, to have the access to the throne of grace. Lord, I'm nervous. Lord, I'm troubled. My heart is heavy. I pray, dear God, that you'd help me. I fear, oh God. Lord, I literally fear to stand where I'm standing right now. I respect God. Lord, I respect God the fact that I am preaching to the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Oh God, I'm not up here, Lord, to entertain. Lord, I'm not up here to be exalted. Lord, I'm up here, God, to try. Lord, to preach in such a way that some soul may see themselves and see the Lord and God get right while there's time and opportunity so to do. Thank you for every message, every song, the testimonies, the young man that surrendered the call to preach. Lord, you've done so much. Lord, surely, God, you want to do something else without doubt. Please, God. Lord, please help me in these moments. God, I'd rather sit down, Lord, just reading your word right now. Lord, let's go a step further without knowing, God, that my life, my heart, my mind, my soul, God, is totally surrendered to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, please touch us, I pray. Help me, Lord, to preach to bring glory and honor to you. And, Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want you to flip back just a minute to those words that I read in Hebrews chapter 10, where he said in verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." I want to preach a minute on the nature of saving faith. The nature of saving faith. I want to make a statement that may very well get me cross with some of you on the out, but I really feel God having to make it. We've heard a lot of preaching about reason people are being loosed. The reason people are going back. And the reason people are leaving the old for the new. I'm going to tell you why I believe it is. I don't believe they've got saving faith. I don't believe they have saving faith. There's a difference in just believing and saving belief. You all know the little acrostic there, the little outline in Hebrews 11 where he talked about faith demanded. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is demanded of God. Now let me lay a principle here, just a few things, and then I want to go to the book of James and dig around there a minute. How important is faith anyhow? Well, I know I'm slow here, but I've got to have my time. How important is faith anyhow? Is faith a little tributary to the river of salvation? Or is faith the head of the stream? Is faith a branch on the tree of life? Or is faith the root? We can't do nothing to please God without faith. And it's got to be Bible faith. The nature of saving faith. Let me just say a few things about how important faith is. You can't please God without it. According to 2 Corinthians 1:24, you can't stand without faith. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, Paul said, but we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. You can't walk with God without faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, for by faith we walk, by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17 said, we live by faith. According to Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We won't even have good access to God without faith. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about whom it seeketh, whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. You can't even resist the devil without faith. Ephesians 6:16 said, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You can't quench the wicked darts without faith. 1 John 5:4 said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, you'll never overcome. Sounds to me like, friend, what we believe is pretty important to who we are. You can't overcome. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't, friend, work for God without faith. 1 Thessalonians 5 said, put on the breastplate of faith. You've got no protection for your heart without faith. 1 Timothy 1:19, I'm going somewhere with all this. He said that some have made shipwreck of the faith. Hebrews 4:2 said, it said this, for unto you was the gospel preached as well as unto us, unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit, not being mixed with faith. Are y'all hearing me? I'm still going somewhere at this. I really want to get to the book of James in a minute. But what he said, you can't even hear preaching. And it do you any good if it's not mixed with faith. The Bible said in
Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You can't even draw near to God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it we understand. You'll never have no understanding without faith. James 5:15 said, the sick are healed through the prayer of faith. Jude 20 said, and you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 3:17 said that Christ made a well in your hearts by faith. What am I saying? I'm saying, friend, that you cannot do anything for God without a biblical saving faith in our life. Faith is the principle, and may I say, the only principle that God will ever meet with man. It's His faith in the Lord, and that's it. God ain't pleased with her works. God's pleased with her faith. Are you listening? What kind of faith? All of that put together, faith is demanded to please God. Faith is demanded to partake of God. Our belonging, our battles, our behavior, our burdens, our boldness, our benefit, all comes as a direct result of our faith in the Lord. Now stay with me here. I know we're not shouting. I hate to go in a different direction than we've been in all day. I'm telling you, friend, more I live, the longer I live, more God's helping me understand that what's the matter with our generation, most of them don't have saving faith, and the ones that do are walking by sight instead of by faith, and we'll never get anything from God except we teach ourselves and we get ourselves back to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to joke about this a minute. When you look in James chapter 2, without doubt, it's a controversial passage of Scripture. I think you'll agree with that. Your church Christ friends use it. A lot of others use it. That Abraham was justified by works, not by faith. And we all know that you're saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. Are y'all hearing me? Don't you go sleep on me now. Therefore, been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:28 says that we are all the children of God. That's where a lot of them leave it. And a lot of you Bibles leave it right there. But it don't stop right there. It don't say we're all the children of God. It says we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The object of our faith is what makes a difference. It's not faith. It's the object of our faith. It's what we got our faith in. Is everybody a child of God because he got faith? Are you hearing? James, Paul in his epistles, lays out the clear doctrine of the plan of saving faith. James lays out the doctrine of the practice of saving faith. And a plan of saving faith that does not lead to a practice of saving faith is not saving faith. That's what James is trying to say. I know I'm going to get a little bold here. I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be arrogant. I don't mean to be a know-it-all. I sure don't want to get cross with you friends of mine. I don't want to do that. But I'm convinced, friend, that the problem, the reason most of these people are leaving and going back to the world and going back to that other kind of everything, they've never had real saving faith applied to their hearts to start with. I do believe that. I am not ashamed to say it. My sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Now, in James chapter 2, please, please pray for me. I want to help you here. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. I want to give you the outline, then we'll look at it briefly. James 2, 14 through 18. James explains the faith of the deceived sinner. Do you hear what I said? James explains the faith of the deceived sinner. And then in verse 19 through 20, and I'll make this statement, some of y'all are going to lose your false teeth. He not only explains the faith of the deceived sinner, in 19 through 20, he exposes the faith of demon spirits. Demon spirits have faith. But it ain't saving faith. And then, in verse 21 through 26, he expounds on the faith of devout saints. I'm glad there's a real faith, a genuine faith, a real McCoy. I believe there is a real, as sure as there is a false. Amen. Let's look at this a minute and see if God will help us for the next few minutes. The faith of deceived sinners. Let's notice number one. Let me just say this first of all. This reason I'm going so slow. The faith of deceived sinners is an intellectual belief about God. You hear what I'm saying? It's an intellectual belief about God. Look what he said. He first describes this deceived sinner's faith. Look how he describes it in verse 17. He said, even so, faith, this kind of faith he's been talking about in verse 14 through 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. He said that this kind of faith is dead faith. Oh, what he's doing here is he is trying to get an analogy between a dead body and a dead belief. Come on now, I know y'all ain't going to shout, just stay with me. He's trying to show you some similarities between a dead body and a dead belief. May I say, first of all, the way you describe a dead body is it don't respond to anything. If it's dead, there'll be no response. You can't do anything to get a dead corpse to respond to you. You can clothe it. You can command it. You can cuss it. You can caress it. You can compose it. You can put it in a coffin. You can hug and hold and everything else, and it won't respond to you. I tell you what's the matter with our people in our churches. We're trying to do everything in the world to get them to respond to us, and we can't get them to respond. I tell you what's the matter with them. They'll respond to that carnal stuff you've been preaching about. They'll respond to that rock music that entertains the flesh. Amen. But you'll not get them to respond to true Bible stuff because they're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin. You say, you got the wrong message. No, I promise you. I've got the right message for right now. I've got people I've preached to for 20 years. They've never responded. You can't get them, Brother Clayton, you can't get them to respond. You can't get them to receive anything. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. They're spiritually discerned. A dead body won't respond, and it can't receive anything. It can't take anything in. You know the reason you're preaching to people that sit there and look at you till they grow up and finally get out and go back out in the world and they respond to that kind of crowd? I tell you what's the matter with the lost of them, most of them, friend. I'm not saying all of them, but the most of them never did have saving faith. I tell you one thing. If God Almighty have birthed the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of the Son of God in your heart. If God, I told myself I wasn't going to get out of here and chase rabbits. If God ever births the faith of Christ down in your heart, if you're the elect according to, I'm not talking about predestination and all of that Calvinistic crap, but if you're elect according to the doctrines of faith, the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is walk away from the true faith of God. It will not be easy. You turn your back and walk away and grin, friend, and smile and spit your bubbles and walk away from that and go back out in the world and live it up in sin. I tell you a problem. You've never been saved. You don't have a saving faith. He said, just like the body is dead without the Spirit, a belief is dead that don't have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into the path of righteousness, and you will respond. Let me give you a Bible verse. Paul said, when I come preaching unto you, you didn't receive it as the word of men, but you received it as it was, the word of God that worketh effectually in you that believe. Amen. He didn't say He'd work in you if you let Him work in you. He said, bless God, He'll work in you. Amen to God. I tell you, there have been a many a day in my life that God worked in me without my permission. I didn't have to let Him do nothing. He just does something.
Amen.
He'll work in you. Being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Christ Jesus. For it work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And I tell you, a dead faith, it can't receive anything, it can't respond to anything, and you'll never be able to revive it. We're trying to get people revived that ain't never been alive. We're trying to get them to go on with God that never did start with God. We're trying to get them to walk with God that never did get birthed of God. Amen. Well, I thought about this over here this morning praying on the altar. No, it wasn't this last night. I thought about this. You know, it don't mean much to you, but this thought in my mind got big while I was praying over there. I thought about that term of God. You don't ever say God of God. There's a lot. God's at the head of it all, but everything else is of God. Is the Son of God. It is the Holy Ghost of God. It is the Word of God. It is the children of God. We are the sons of God. I tell you, if you ain't never got the foundation right, the odds after that will never be right either. Amen. He say he describes this faith of the deceived sinner. He describes it as a dead faith. Let me ask you something. Now, I'm just preaching like I was preaching to any other crowd. Does what you profess to have ever create any response? Brother Robert talked about this morning when you go to church dead, dried up, burned out, wore out, aggravated, mad, frustrated, and all the rest of them dastardly deeds, disappointed, discouraged, dissatisfied, down, discouraged, all the rest of them dastardly deeds. I've been there when I thought before God I'd never get a blessing again. I tell you, when the right song was sung and the right verse was read, there was some response down inside of me. I didn't have to work it up. Amen. My inner man responds to spiritual things because I've got saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He describes it as dead faith. But notice the second thing real hurt in my soul, my time's getting away. Not only he describes it as dead faith, but notice how he discloses how you can really know this deceived sinner's faith. It's just a mere intellectualism of the head. He said in verse number, again here, he said that this faith, in verse 15 through 18, it hath not works. He just closes. You know, it's going to be sad. Oh, it's going to be sad and folk go to hell. Preached to hear and preach on every service, had daddies for preachers and mamas for saints, and went to church and heard preaching all their life, and it was plain as the nose on their faith that if faith don't move them, they're dead, and if they don't have saving faith, there'll be no works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I want to tell you something, friend. Since the Lord picked up the church and saved a sinner, He's never set it down. He never said, I think I'll go get a drink of water and let Brother Willis just sit a while. He's always, preacher said, He first put His hands on you. Since He first saved and got in you, He's always been molding. And He's always been shaping. And He's always been doing something. He's always at work. And then when you get so worked inside, there'll be a natural response that'll come from the in workings of the grace of God that'll work itself out and you'll produce something. God has no unfruitful children. None. Every one of them. It might just be one little apple. But there'll be one there. It might have a bushel and the tree limbs breaking down with them. But somewhere on that tree, thank God, it won't be you producing it. It'll be the life of Christ. It'll be the love of Christ. It'll be the labor of Christ. It'll be the joy of God. It'll be God working in you. God will do something in you. I'm so tired of this crowd. I understand it. Don't you get mad if you do. I'm sorry. I'm so tired of this crowd that's all the time talking about God will do something if you let Him. I do understand the term submission. I know all about that. Somewhere we've got it backwards. We've got it like we've got God by the hand. And God's going to only go where we lead Him. God's going to only do what we let Him. But I want to tell you something. It ain't me got God by the hand. I'm telling you, I remember when I was a kid. Hold on just a minute. I remember when I was a boy. We was out in this big city one time. My mama has gone down between two cars and I had mama's hand. We was walking along. Now that stepped out in front of a car. Mama jerked me back in. I thought I had a hold of Mama's hand. But I finally realized it wasn't me that had a hold of Mama. It was Mama that had a hold of me. That ain't what I'm doing for God. It's what God's doing in me. Amen. I'm glad He's a working in you. I'm glad He's a working in me. But a dead faith, He'll do nothing in it. And therefore there'll be nothing worked out of it. Nothing to work out if somebody's been worked in. You can't produce for God if God gets inside. You see, this deceives sinner's faith when he discloses it. Here's how he discloses it. Now listen at me. Am I preaching too long, preacher? Here's how he discloses it. He says it's a faith that likes to talk. It's all the time saying something. But it has no walk. He said that, listen. He said, could you reckon that saying when you're hungry, be ye filled? You reckon that'll fill you? When you're cold, be ye warmed. Will that warm you? And he said, you can talk about it all you want. But until you got it, it'll never do nothing in you. We're a generation that likes to talk about it. We know the amens, the hallelujahs, the glory to God, the King James Bible, the independent, fundamental, premillennial. We know all the terminology. We say, say, say. We talk, talk, talk. But he said, hey, that deceived sinner's faith has a lot of talk, but it has no walk. It has a profession, but no practice. It's just intellectual belief. It believes, listen to me now, it believes something about God. I tell you what I'm running into in this country. Help me, Lord. I'm running into everybody I meet has faith. Everybody you meet today, Brother Joe, tells you they're saved. They've got the deceived sinners. Let me say this lastly and go to the second truth here. Not only he explains this, he describes it as dead. He discloses it as no works. But then this deceived sinner's faith is described and disclosed. But oh my, it damns. Oh God. Oh, what the sinners. It's going to wake up in hell with an intellectual head belief in God. They believe something about God. You can believe about God and not be saved. Can I uncouple for just a second? I mentioned it yesterday on Sunday morning. Just before church, a fellow pulled up in front of our yard, and he used to abuse this piano. Our piano player was a little girl, his daughter. And he abused her sexually and molested her and one thing then another. And he began to tell me how he got his doctor's degree, and he's now writing a book on theology. He said, I don't believe in church. I don't believe in gospel. I don't believe in preaching. I don't believe in missions. I think the church is nothing but a money racket. I tell you what it's got. He's been off some school that intellectualized him about the theology, and he's lost as a June bug in a hell storm, and he's going to die without God and split hell wide open believing in God. Paul believed in God one day too. Sometime back I was visiting. I got to hurry here. I was visiting. I run into this man on the porch of a trailer. And I began to talk to him. Brother Jarvis, I began to tell him about the Lord. And I began to tell him, he said, do you know that it's possible to be lost and still believe in God? And you'd have to understand the conversation. He's trying to throw at me and trying to tell me I was lost. And I said, I'm glad you recognize that that's a possibility for you. I'm going to tell you what's the matter for people. I'm going to tell you why they're sitting in their churches and go hog wild and pig crazy. Go right back and eat the same slop they once eat. And go back and live the same life they once lived. They'll tell you, I believe in God. I believe in God. It's a deceived faith and intellectualism of the head without having a heart change in the Lord. Romans 6:17 said, you were once lost and so on, but you have believed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Hey, most folks believe it up here, they never believe it down there. Let's look at the second faith right real quickly. My soul, we've got to eat sometime tonight. In verse 14 through 18, he explains the faith of deceived sinners. It is a faith that believes about God with intellectualism. Look at verse number 19 through 20. This is the faith of the demon spirits. Now look what he said there. Y'all with me out there? Y'all still out there? Look at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So he's saying right here that there is a deceived faith that believes about God. And then there is a demonic faith that believes in God. He said demons have got faith. They believe. See, here's what I'm trying to drive at. We are pure fools, if I can say it as humbly as I know how, to think that everybody that's ever made a profession of faith is saved just because they say they believe in God. When on the other side, there's no works, no response, no reviving, no moving of God, no working of God, no action, no love, no communication with God.
And yet we say they're believed, we believe they're saved, they're just backslid. It's going to get quieter, I'm afraid. I probably won't get no revival out of this sermon. But... Now, what do you mean the faith of demon spirits? Look at it here. Number one, let me say demons are enlightened. Look at what it said. Thou believest there's one God. Demons are enlightened. They're not atheists. And this term, one God, is a great meaning here. I'm losing you right there. Y'all going to go to supper on me now. This is the tenet of Deuteronomy 6. The first principle of Judeo religion was this. That there must believe there is one God. He said the faith of the demons are so correct that they're not monotheistic. They're not polytheistic. They're not idolaters. They're not atheists. They're not agnostics. They believe the principle that there's only one God. They're enlightened. Now, I'm losing you, so I've got to hurry. They're enlightened about two or three things. They're enlightened, number one, about the sonship of Jesus Christ. Now, y'all better listen to me. Some of you are going to get confused if you don't. When demons spoke, they'd say something like this. We know who thou art. Thou art the Son of God. Now, I'm going to get some of you tore up right here. Demons believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But it wasn't saving faith. They believed in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They believed in the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. He said, art thou come to torment us before our time? They believe. They are enlightened. I believe a lot of people in our churches have been enlightened. It's getting off quiet and I don't know where I'm at right here. But they don't have saving faith. Not only were they enlightened about the existence of God, they were enlightened about the excellency of God, they were enlightened about the execution of judgment from God. But listen to this. Demons are enlightened. But I gather from verse number 19 that demons can be emotional. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also in what? Tremble. They're emotional. I believe a lot of folk in our churches have got enlightened. And they even got emotional. And they've got the faith. See, the first category of faith is the faith that deceives sinners that believe something about God with their intellect. The second category is the faith of demon spirits that believes in God with intellectualism coupled with emotionalism. Oh, would y'all pray? If y'all knew how hard the devil's fighting me right now, you'd pray for me. Emotionalism. Did not Jesus say in that parable over there in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke 8, did not Jesus say this? He said that that one that believed on thorny ground were those that believed, or stony ground was it, and anon with joy. Oh, I wish I could get your attention up here a minute. With joy! With joy! Emotionally. I've seen them make what I thought was good professions. They cried tears. They trembled. Felix or Agrippa trembled when they was confronted with the issues of Christ. Let me give you something. Would y'all please pray for me? I've got to preach this for him. I tell you, if I don't, God's going to hold me accountable. Did you ever catch this little statement in the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 17, where he talked about the faith, those people that believed on the stony ground, and then when the affliction come because of the Word, they fell away? Did you ever catch what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5? That when I brought the Word of God to you, you received it in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, and you became followers of us. Watch this. Jesus said, if joy, receiving the Word of God, listen to me now,
Jesus said this, Brother Ross. He said, if joy receiving the Word of God comes before affliction, you'll fall away. When you make the soul part of the message joy and entertainment, the end result will be falling away. But he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you receive the Word of God first in much affliction and in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, when affliction cometh, you become followers. I tell you what's the matter with us. We're preaching the Word in a joyful, entertaining method that's causing people to believe in emotionalistic ways. And then when trouble comes, they fall away. But if the Word of God ever cuts through to your heart and afflicts you in the Holy Ghost and you get saved, you'll stay with that thing. I got to hurry here and be done. These demon spirits were enlightened. These demon spirits were emotional. But watch this again now. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Somebody said I lied yesterday. Brother Robert, is that you told that on me? Somebody told that. Brother Rudy told that on me last night. Demons are enlightened. Then the demons are emotional. But then the demons are exposed. You know what he said about them? The same thing he said about the deceived sinner's faith. He says a second time in verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He said the proof of that kind of faith is in its works. No works, no faith. No matter how much intellectualism or emotionalism was coupled to the profession. Now look at the last one. I'm done. Let me repeat myself. In verse 14 through 18, he explains the faith of deceived sinners, a belief about God by intellectualism. In verse 19 through 20, there's the faith of the demon spirits that is exposed, a belief in God, intellectualism coupled with emotionalism. Now, what is the third kind of faith? It is the faith, he expounds on the faith of devout sinners. Now, listen at me. One is a belief about God. The other is a belief in God. But the third one is a belief on God. I wish I had the time. I don't. I won't take it. But I wish I had the time to give you five separate dictionary terms of faith. And all of them says this in essence, that it is a reliance and a dependence on the veracity and the truth of God based on His character. Now, look at this and I'm done. He gives two examples of saving faith. First, He gives the example of Abraham, a devout, gifted Hebrew. And then He gives the example of Rahab, a depraved Gentile harlot. And he said, Abraham believed God, that saving faith in verse 23. That saving faith led to sacrificial faith where he offered up Isaac, verse 21 and 22. And that saving faith and sacrificial faith of Abraham led to a satisfying friendship. He became the friend of God. And then old Rahab, that Gentile harlot, that received the message of the messenger. All true saving faith starts with believing the message. Faith cometh by hearing. I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it, and Brother Robert, I'm trying to hush, I promise you I am. We all preach John 6:44. I'm about done. We all preach John 6:44. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And he said that God must draw you. I can't even get the verse in my head right now. I showed you how the devil's fighting. No man shall come unto me except my Father which has sent me. Draw him. And I'll raise him up the last day. That's what he said. Everybody preaches verse 44. But nobody preaches verse 45.
All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. No man come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. We say, we've got to be drawn now. We've got to be drawn. Can't come unless you're being drawn. Can't come unless you're being drawn. But we don't tell them how God draws. See, we make them think it's got to be some big out of this world experience. But here's what Jesus said in verse 45. I lost my handkerchief. Here's what Jesus said in verse 45. He said, as it is written, every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of my Father cometh to me. He said that drawing business is done through the process of hearing, not feeling. We have put so much emphasis on feeling. Jesus said, every man. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Look it up in John 6:45. Every man that hath heard of me and learned will come. I tell you why we're not getting them saved. They're not hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. We preach a 10-minute sermon and expose all the adulterous triangles in town. Yeah, it's getting quiet. And that'll never get nobody saved. Don't get mad at me. They got to hear the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. They got to hear about Him. And so we sing 14 verses of some song. I know it's quiet. I told you I wasn't going to get no accolades from this sermon. We sing and emotionalize it up, and I believe in some emotion. Don't misunderstand me. But are we helping them hear? I wanted to preach on this today, and I'm done, I promise you. I wanted to preach on the greatest need in America, a revival of sin. Paul said, when sin revives, I died. What we need in America, in our churches, is a revival of sin. And sin is revived through the preaching of the law. And we hang them out over hell for 6 months, telling them about their sin. Then, Brother Barry, we throw grace at them, son. We throw grace at them. They're ready to take it then. Yeah. When they ever hear, Jesus said, everybody. You think, bless God, and I'm done. I said it, didn't I? You think if Brother Robert Jarvis had told me yesterday when I come in the door, Brother Buster, don't go in there. Bin Laden and all his thugs is in there shooting people. You think I'd come in here? You know the reason we ain't getting them saved? We're emotionalizing them and intellectualizing them without them hearing that they're sinners and they don't need a Savior if they're not a sinner. The nature of saving faith. I'll close with this one more last time and I'm done. I've took too long. I close with this. May I say it one last time? Is everybody who believes and tells you they believe, are they saved? I read a book the other day saying when the rapture comes, 80 million Americans will be missing. Said because 80 million people in America profess Christianity. Now I'll tell you what 80 million Americans are doing. They have the faith of the deceived sinner and the faith of the demon spirits, not the faith of the devout saint.
Let's all stand again. ask our pianist to come just for a moment. I'll ask you to bow your heads this evening.